Welcome, everyone. The webcast is about to begin. Please note today's conference is being recorded. And now I'd like to turn the call over to Dr. Peter Angood. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and welcome, everybody, to the Series Reportable Events Steering Committee. Thank you again for taking some time out of your day. This is one of our ongoing hardcore work sessions, so we won't spend much in the way of pleasantries at the beginning because, as everyone's aware, we've got a lot of work to cover. It would be nice if we finished out today, but there's a few of us who are skeptics, and if we need to do some more work, either electronically or, heaven forbid, another phone call, we'll certainly plan that. But our goal is to make sure you all, as steering committee members, are satisfied with the work that we've produced, and we don't want to fall into the trap of closing off committee work just because we're feeling a little fatigued. So I encourage us to remain with our diligence and the expert opinions that you have been providing us. So with that, I'll turn it over to Sally Tyler and Greg Meyer.
Great. So maybe I'll start. Welcome. We would like to try to take the remaining potential serious reportable events over the finish line today in terms of discussion. And you'll see that what we're going to need to do today is to talk about those remaining submissions. And they are listed for you on the agenda. We also had distributed a table which was redlined, and we thought it was useful to send you the redlined version just so you could see what is in and what is out and how our deliberations have changed this document. We will be just touching on those events listed here as the remaining submissions today. Again, to remind folks, we all will have a chance to weigh on this on the entirety of the list through a SurveyMonkey or other process at the conclusion of our deliberations. We also would love to be able to get through the definitions today. I think that's a bit ambitious, but we'll at least aim for that. So I'll turn it over to Sally if she has any other comments, and then we'll dig right in.
No. Basically, just to echo what Greg said, we definitely want to try to get through those events today. If possible, we'll get on to the definitions. If not, maybe wrap that up later. But let's jump right in on the first event.
Right. So the first event we want to talk about were the events related to radiologic events. This is a new section. It's Section 3. In the redlined document that you got, that is on page 6 of the redlined document, and that's coming up on the webcast as well for folks. There were two here. The first one that we talked about was this notion of trying to have in an event a patient death or serious injury as a consequence of MRI error defined as magnetizable material inside the MRI room. Or medical projectiles in the MRI area. And the additional specs there you will see about material inside the patient's body or projectiles from outside. We got some very late-breaking input from a group of radiologists, subject matter experts, that was included in an email that Sally sent out late this morning. Related to this first one, the issue they raised was they felt that our definition of the event seemed ambiguous, and they wonder, does the definition mean that any magnetizable material inside the MRI room should be viewed as an error? And that was not, I don't believe that was what we were trying to convey here. I believe that what we're trying to convey is that this was material that either became a missile from without or became a missile from within the patient. So it was not just that something was left in the room, but we probably will need to trim up the definition there. So I'm open to other comments or how we can change that definition of the event to try to accommodate that concern raised by the radiology subject matter experts.
This is Michael Viktorov. I'm testing this text chat thing on the website, and I uploaded some alternative language. I don't know if this is good or bad, but you might tell me whether this is helpful.
In order to see what Michael's putting in, you need to be on the minimized side, not the minimized, but the not maximized portion, because Mike's got his chat down there. Mm-hmm. If you are maximized on your website, you don't see the chat section.
Is, Michael, what I have on my screen is death or serious injury of a patient or staff associated with the unintentional introduction of a metallic object into the MRI area, period. Is that all of it?
Yep. That, I thought that was easier.
Yeah, that sounds a whole lot easier and cleaner, and I think that does address that concern. Does anybody have any other tweaking of that they think that is necessary?
No, I think that's good.
I
think that's pretty clear. Other comments on the MRI event? Okay. All right. Hearing none, I think we should move on. I do think that that will be an important addition. It's interesting that some of the experts felt that these were. That these were very, very rare, and that's good, but the fact that they still occur is a reason for them to be here. The second one under radiologic events is a death or serious injury with prolonged fluoroscopy with cumulative dose greater than 1,500 rads to a single field or deliver of radiotherapy to the wrong body region or 25% above or below the planned radiotherapy dose. And this one, there was a little bit more extensive feedback, and I really don't think I can capture that completely quickly for you, but again, that was in Lindsay's email from late this morning. There were a couple of issues they had with just using grays instead of rads as the unit of measurement. There was a fair amount more technical material here, and I guess as I looked through this, I was wondering is whether or not we really have the time to make this specific enough to be useful. And I guess I would like to just hear quickly, if I can, from those to whom this would be reported, folks like Diane and Stan, is this going to be useful for you, or do we need to define this further? I'm a little bit concerned that we don't have good specification here.
I agree. I think that we're going to have a lot of problem if we don't have some really good specification. I don't know what Diane thinks, but.
Well, I think there are really a couple of different issues in this one event. The delivery of radiotherapy to the wrong body region or 25% above or below the planned dose, those are easier to capture, I would imagine, and
yep.
Don't really raise the same issues, but it sounds like there are a lot of nuances related to the first clause of this that might make it too difficult for us to implement. From my perspective, just not at all being a clinical expert, when I looked at the email that was sent, I really wasn't able to make heads or tails of it in terms of what the bottom line was for us and how we would interpret it. But again, I think the second and third elements of this event are fairly clear.
So I guess the only issue that I would have is probably the first element. I'm not sure how we're going to know that the patient actually received that much, that dosage. But we certainly would be able to know that the staff received that dosage because of their badges. So, I think that as we've done before, the staff issue is important again. So. I guess I agree with Diane that first part is difficult to nail down, but I think in a way it may be just as important as the other. I think it's certainly going to be easier to do the doses of radiotherapy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
This is Michael. I think the wrong region probably should be subsumed under wrong site procedure.
Yeah, that's how we already capture that.
Yeah.
So that, then...
So we could move that to additional, some implementation guidance under the wrong site. I think that's quite sensible.
I guess my feeling about this one is we should take it offline. This is not ready to go on the rails yet.
Yeah.
And it should be taken back to the shop for work. I think there are a couple of potentially good events to capture here, but we probably don't have time today to perfect them, and I think we need to hear from smarter people.
I also think that one thing, again, in favor of kind of putting this on the back burner and perhaps revisiting the next go-around with the SREs, is that this field is evolving very quickly in the literature, and so I don't think it's going to go away on the one hand. On the other hand, I think the definitions and the cutoff values here are likely to change over the next several years.
This is Peter. There are two other hot-button issues in radiology which would support us kind of taking a little bit more graded approach, and the other two areas are dosing of CT scans,
yep.
Getting a lot of public press, and so there'll be some consumer pressure to have that come out, but I don't think the literature's quite there yet. And the other is pediatric dosing, and again, that's a hot button, but to my understanding, not quite enough literature out there. And so, bringing one radiology thing out is kind of a message to the community, and then we can roll in these other one, two, or three as we continue with the next iterations. That would be a strategy.
Right. So, Peter, just one question. In the final report, will there be a space that will indicate here are other metrics that we considered, but we did not feel were quite ready or had the specifications necessary for implementation?
Yeah, I think it will be important for us to do not only that, but also to provide explanation for the three or so that we're probably going to retire.
Great. So the proposal, this is great. The proposal I put out there is that we move the delivery of radiotherapy to the wrong body region, to the wrong site area, and we put that in as this explicit piece of implementation guidance, and then the remainder of these that we acknowledge that this is something we consider. We didn't feel it was quite ready. We know that it's important, and it will probably be on a future list.
But keeping the MRI one still.
But keeping the MRI one, yes. Keep the MRI one and move the radiotherapy to the wrong body region, to the wrong site, but for the remainder of this to acknowledge that, in the text of the report, it's important. The committee was interested in it, but we don't feel that we have the specifications at this point in time, and we'll consider it in the future.
And would you, as a committee, be comfortable making mention in that same context the pediatric dosing and
Absolutely.
The CT scan dosing?
Yeah.
I think that, and we got some input on that as well. But again, it's not ready for prime time, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Anyone have any objections or concerns with that approach?
No, I think that's exactly right. I mean, certainly the CT scan issues that have gone on with stroke diagnosis are going to evolve. And so I think there's several other areas like that we can't put any words down on paper about right now, at least in terms of where the research has led things.
Other concerns?
No, I'm just happy, having been someone who used a lot of fluoro in my surgical times, that I've got my kids. I'm just waiting for my thyroid cancer to show up.
Well, on that note, we will move over to the safe injections issue. And just... If we can move there on the webcast, that would be helpful. And just to remind folks that we put this into the event about medication errors. So this is under five care management events. And what you will see here is that under the additional specifications, we noted. Have a new additional specification, which is listed as C, and it says improper use of single-dose, single-use, and multi-dose medication vials and containers leading to contamination or dose adjustment problems. And the notion of the contamination, again, comes from the safe injection practices work. Any comments on this one?
I mean, this mirrors the Joint Commission standards, so.
Alignment is good.
Yeah, having written the Joint Commission ones, I'm happy that this is happening.
This is Michael. I had a little trivial comment on the implementation guidance. I think this is very well worded in terms of event and specifications, but I thought we might be able to shorten the not intended to capture by throwing away the second bullet, which really talks about near misses, and I just felt like cutting that because the definition doesn't address near misses. We don't care about near misses.
You would like to drop that entire second bullet under the event, this event is not intended to capture. Is that correct, Michael?
Yeah, two or more medications that are, you know, administered for which there are this, but, you know, it really didn't happen. And so why say that? We could.
So we already do that by definition is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think that that's fair.
One more also very minor thing is that I edited death or serious injury in the implementation guidance. You didn't always capture that little edit, although you did correctly edit all the ones in the first column. You still have some disability in the implementation guidance, third column, in a bunch of these.
Other comments on this one? Anyone have a problem with removing that second bullet?
No.
No.
Okay. Any other comments on the safe injection? That was a nice addition, I think, to this work. So thank you to those who brought this forward. Okay. The third issue we wanted to talk about was the lost specimen issue. And you will find those under care management events. And that is section 5. It's on page 13 of the table. And this is largely new. So I'd like to just take one moment to read through this.
This is Michael. Since I worked on this one offline, I have added a couple little edits to it, and I've just put an edit into the comments.
So the first one is on K.
And
Michael, can you read that off? I can see here, but not everybody is on the web.
Very, very tiny edits. Now reading, patient death or serious injury resulting from the loss of critical information expected to be gained from a mishandled biological specimen whose loss is irretrievable, or the risk of death or serious injury because a mishandled biological specimen must be reacquired.
This is Diane. My only question was whether we needed the loss of critical information expected to be gained, or whether we just say patient death or serious injury resulting from the loss of a biological specimen whose loss is irretrievable.
Yeah,
it's Diane,
simpler.
Right.
I think I understand them as essentially the same thing, so I'm all for shortened language, but any other reactions to that?
I agree with Diane. I do too.
I do too.
I wonder though if does mishandled raise some potential issues, the use of that word? So we're talking about loss, but mishandling has other implications to me beyond loss.
Well, the reason I did that was because of column 2, where we column 3, I changed the implementation guidance too. Because we're not talking about a specimen that proved uninformative, but actually a specimen that was bungled. Now, could be that mishandled, you could drop mishandled, and if the implementation guidance says, let's see, here's another, I'll copy this for you so you can read what I'm saying. I'm saying it specifically excludes properly handled specimens where we had to do, you know, maybe another procedure, but it wasn't our fault because, you know, we just didn't hit biopsy the right area or something, you know, or this really means that there was an error in the management of the specimen rather than...
Right. You got the right sample, but then you messed
up. Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't useful or, you know, it didn't help the pathologist. So I have to repeat the procedure. I'm terribly sorry, but, you know, that was not an error, really. That's life. Now, so maybe you could drop mishandled.
So then your additional spec there would be excludes procedures where the specimen was properly handled but proved to be non-diagnostic.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, and I think the only reason I raised the question is because to me mishandled includes things like contamination.
Yeah, so I think that does clarify it a bit. So we would remove mishandled, but we'd have this in the implementation guidance.
Good, I concur.
Works for me.
Yeah, I think if you take out the mishandle, you've still got loss, and that's the main thing you're talking about is loss. So, you know.
Yep. Okay. Other comments on that one?
So just so the group's not lost here, could someone read what our or write what we now agreed to? Because we started long, but
so what we would agree to is let's go back to. Under implementation guidance, it would read, there would be an exclusion, and it would say, excludes procedures where the specimen was properly handled, comma, but proved to be non-diagnostic, period. And under the actual definition, if Michael, can you go back to if I can pull that back.
Yeah, okay, so now it reads, and I think this is probably the best we've got. Patient death or serious injury resulting from the loss of a biological specimen whose loss is irretrievable or the risk of death or serious injury because a biological specimen must be reacquired.
Do you want to shorten it to just say from the irretrievable loss?
Yeah, now that actually reads better.
Yeah. Okay.
And so let me just devil's advocate one little thing. When we say loss, then someone might quibble and say, oh, well, you know, I cooked the specimen so it became unreadable or something. I think I would still include that as loss.
Yeah, and I guess that's why I raised the question about mishandling, because if you want to capture things like that, then I think mishandling is the right word. If you want to just get at loss, then I don't think you want to throw mishandling into the mix.
I guess my view, this is Greg, my view is that there will be enough issue here with just loss. This will be including this as an SRE will be revolutionary because it gets us into the diagnostic realm, which is terrific.
Right.
And I think that will be a great start, and I think we'll get away from the murkiness of the mishandling.
Do we think the risk of death or serious injury is murky?
Yeah, I do want to talk about that. So that second clause or the second phrase is part of the event definition. Risk of death or serious injury because.
Well, what we were trying to get after here were trying to pack two things into one box. But what this meant was they didn't die. Because we went back in and did a brain biopsy twice. You know, look, we did their myocardial biopsy twice, and the second time it really worked. So no harm, no foul.
And I guess I think the issue there will be because we don't have the hard endpoint of a death or a serious injury, and even serious injury is a little fuzzy, as we know well from our definitions discussion, that then we're left with trying to define which procedures have those risks. And so I think brain biopsy, I think most people would say, boy, that ought to fit. You know, a endomyocardial biopsy is like getting a blood drawn from my father-in-law who's had a heart transplant. He's had literally over 50 of them. So I think that's going to be tough.
It is about potential, and it's not about the hard endpoint. So I agree with that, Craig.
Yeah, so I just think it would be awful tough in the field to decide which are those things where that risk of death or serious injury is. I think having it tied to death or serious injury makes it pretty clear. When we tie it to risk, then we have to define what those procedures are. And I think that will be an impossible task for us to do as a committee and be a future headache for those who are trying to receive these reports.
Yeah, you've convinced me.
Yeah. I agree with that as well.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think in the interpretive guide or whatever, I mean, we should just make sure we mention that, you know, that includes death or serious disability, you know, from the repeat procedure, et cetera.
Yes, I agree.
Well, the next one may cover that. So that's one of the reasons why I'm happy to surrender this here.
Yeah, so let's look at that. That is L. So if we can move down to L, this moves over to page 14. The event here is death or serious injury resulting from the repetition of an invasive procedure because of an avoidable loss of information from the original procedure.
Do you think we should just combine those two?
Yeah.
I wonder if we couldn't put this in to the implementation guidance from the one before and just say this is meant to include.
Yeah,
I agree.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yep, I like that.
One less event.
Okay. This leaves us then with M. M is death or serious injury or immediate and substantial increase in the risk of death or serious injury resulting from failure to follow up, communicate, or manage the care plan or clinical information. So this is a real kind of care coordination event issue.
This is Michael again. I was assigned this one, and it actually got pulled apart from other submissions other people sent. We got the feeling that people really were concerned about these failed follow-ups, since they're probably the biggest source of malpractice claims that I see in my work. And so we got this feedback, and we tried to make one that would at least put this bad endpoint on it, you know, death or serious injury. You know, it's not just I forgot to call you about your dental visit. And this is the failed follow-up, death or serious injury, and the one we get sued over all the time is my cancer progressed, and I have a lost opportunity suit here because I didn't get called about my ugly mammogram for 2 years.
Do we want to get rid of the risk thing again, just like for based on the argument that we made earlier, though, and just have it be death or serious injury? I know it limits it a little bit, but it probably makes it much clearer for the field.
I think, speaking for the field, immediate and substantial are both words that we will struggle to define.
Yeah, for sure.
And if we have, I do think the change in the stage of cancer, I think it's fair to say that is a serious injury.
Yep.
Okay, well then, in the implementation guidance, I've just submitted, I uploaded a couple of other little comments about examples. I'd be happy to sacrifice the risk thing for the reasons we said, as long as we specify that an example includes changing the stage of cancer.
Right, and that's currently in the implementation guidance. And just by way of a traffic signal to folks, we did move the development of Kernicterus into an example under this particular serious reportable event. So it's removed as a standalone condition-specific serious reportable event and subsumed here because we think it is fair to make this part of a larger issue rather than pull it out on its own.
Yep. So I guess I have the same issues about risk that we had with the one just above. You know, certainly from trying to parse out immediate and substantial increase in risk, I'm not sure I'm going to know how to do that.
So this would then read, patient death or serious injury resulting from failure to follow up, communicate, or manage the care plan or clinical information, period.
Yeah, that would help.
I agree.
Yeah, before we go on, this is Eric. I always worry about the smoking gun here,
mm-hmm.
and whose responsibility it is. Is that glucose of 375 in the emergency room identified by the ER staff, by the nursing home staff, or somewhere in between? And as we try to, again, parse it out, I'm not certain that we've got it down right yet, or if we want to try to push it any further.
Well, this is Diane. I also think there's again, we have a lot of things going on in this event. I think taking out the risk of death or serious injury, it helps. But again, we have failure to follow up, failure to communicate, and failure to manage the care plan or clinical information, which are at least two different types of failure.
Yeah.
I can see a lot of different issues related to failure to follow up or communicate that are different from failure to manage.
Yeah.
And I think we might want to be careful about what we're really trying to capture here, which I think is more about the failure to follow up than it is the failure to manage a care plan.
Okay, I would sacrifice manage the care plan if the thing then reads follow up or communicate clinical information.
That sounds perfect to me.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Yep, I agree. Okay. So this will now read death or serious injury resulting from failure to follow up or communicate clinical information, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's much clearer.
Yeah, I think we have to leave it clean for this first go.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this will be very interesting 2 or 3 years post-implementation to talk to folks like Stan and Diane and others and hear what they're hearing, and I'm sure there will be some interesting feedback from those in the medical malpractice realms about this particular SRE when this goes out for public comment. So, good for us.
And I can already anticipate that the questions that are going to come up, even though I think it is much clearer now, there will be questions related to what does it really mean to follow up, how extensive does that follow-up or communication need to be, what form does it take, where does your responsibility end?
And you know, if we made a plan and the patient didn't go, does that count? And I think the patient adherence piece will probably
That's another issue.
And if I buried it on page 5 of the discharge summary, is that as pretty close?
I sent them a letter, and I don't know if they got it or not.
Right.
Well, I can just give you one piece of practical wisdom on this. When again we stick with the endpoint of real bad outcomes, typically the root cause analysis really does find that it was an unambiguous failure on somebody's part when there is a failure. Now all these ones about, you know, the patient should have come, I told them, I warned them, you know, most of those don't end up killing people.
Hello?
Yep.
Still here.
Yep.
I think Michael might have popped off, so...
No, I just know when to close my mouth.
I guess clicking in the background that's got us confused, but sorry, let's just continue on with the dialogue.
So anything else on this care management event?
Yeah,
okay, hearing nothing. So the last of the remaining submissions is to talk about incorrect placement of a feeding or ventilation tube resulting in patient harm. So if we could pull up where that is on the spreadsheet.
That one is not on the spreadsheet.
Good, because I couldn't find it either, and I was feeling bad.
That's no, it's not getting better now.
Yeah, good. I feel better.
It's in a separate email.
Yep. Okay. So this one, then we have to go back to the actual submission here.
Now, this is Peter. This is a late-breaking submission from a new member to NQF who happened to hear about this initiative. Also is a fairly strong patient safety advocate, in large part due to personal experiences. most of this submission is based on his personal experiences, their family's personal experiences, but I would argue that in this discussion for us, an SRE would probably do better by being a bit more broad-based, because there are a lot of errors and problems related to a variety of medical tubes and the connectors between the medical tubes, and we don't want to miss that opportunity, in my opinion, but I just provide that as context for the group's discussion.
Well, so we have that other one related to catheters, I know, right? There's one related to misplaced catheters.
Well, and how does this fit in with the device category more broadly? Could this be a specific?
That was my question.
Because I actually think this is a really good one, and I know of cases, you know, across the country where this has been an issue. So I think it's a really good one to try to get. And so the question is, do we want to lump it in somewhere else?
Wrong site.
Device.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the discussion point, is whether you lump it or whether you profile it as an independent one based on what you think the magnanimity or the seriousness of the problem actually is out there.
Yeah. This is Greg. I guess I would argue in favor of lumping it, and that's drawn from two things. I think, first of all, I can think, yes, these are two important examples, feeding tubes and the tracheal tubes, but the reality is that there are probably a number of other tubes and devices that when you used wrong or put in the wrong place, it's very, very harmful. So I'm not sure that pulling these out in particular is as sensible as making these part of the implementation guidance of where they fit best. And I think that gets tricky. And, you know, you could certainly think about putting them under perhaps wrong site. You could also think of putting them under device issues. And
I thought we did a pretty good job on this, because this is the kind of stuff that does happen in long-term care. And we put this in under the misuse of a device.
Yeah, and we actually have, if you assume that this is mostly due to individual practitioner technique, which it may or may not be, we have excluded that under the device event, so it's not something that we capture right now, but it's certainly something we had quite a discussion about and had some differences of opinion related to whether something like this should be considered a device malfunction.
Dan, can you share a little bit more about why did you come out in the place you did? Why did you decide to have these as exclusions?
Because the consensus was that it's related to an individual practitioner's technique rather than a larger system breakdown. And so it didn't feel like it was part of what that event was designed to capture. We did not have unanimity on that, though. And I don't know that the group necessarily needs to follow how we think about it. So,
this is Michael. I think I would support what Diane is saying, and it's that my reason for putting it in wrong site is because the device is working as intended. Really, it's conveying some juice somewhere. But wrong site surgery or procedures are things that really do speak to systems or techniques or workflow. And my argument for lumping it into site is I already see that under wrong site we have several different subcategories of things that are addressed by different remedies. And I think they're going to be more and more and more as people get into reporting them. And so I would just rather have tubes and spinal levels and dental extractions and eyeballs and radiation and all that kind of stuff forming their own little clusters under wrong site, because
yeah,
I think they're going to turn out to be quite a few. And for me, putting, you know, intubating the esophagus is just one more of those.
Well, I think if we already have incorrectly placed vascular catheters under wrong site, then I think this would probably fit there.
I agree. But
my only question about this is, you know, as people report, and I guess this will be up to the states to just determine, I guess, but could we recommend that potentially when you're reporting in this category, there could be some sub-classifications you might want to consider? Because I just worry that, you know, you get this big lump called wrong side surgery, and now we're putting so much in there, which I agree actually with doing, but in terms of looking at clusters, et cetera, it might be easier if there were some subgroups within, so that it made it easier for, you know, Stan, for you to kind of call out themes and so on.
Right. So I guess the other comment I was going to have about this particular thing is I would like to see it be broader and not just hone in on NG tubes and esophageal intubation. That happens so often, I think, that this kind of event goes on that it's going to be really hard. I'm going to get a million questions about, well, you know, this is the intern, and, you know, this is the first time he's done this, and, you know, you can hear it. I can hear it.
Well, yeah. Remember the end point, though.
This one doesn't have death or serious disability on it.
Right, but in a serious injury, I mean, the guy can perforate the esophagus and have that NG tube be sitting in the thoracic cavity. Yeah. That's a serious injury.
Well, but that's going to be incredibly rare.
This is Peter Angood.
Maybe not.
Yeah, this is Peter Angood. My comments earlier tended to support what Stancil just said, and that I think, you know, my preference would be that you continue to think about this a little bit more broadly. And the other comment I'll make is, while I understand Michael's rationale, what that does not capture are those incidences where the wrong tubes are used for the wrong purposes. An example is the intravenous tubing gets hooked up to the pilot tube of an endotracheal or a tracheostomy tube, and then the IV fluid gets run in to that pilot tube, blows the balloon, and then the patient drowns.
Yes, I agree, but actually I think we have captured that under used not as intended.
Yeah, and I think I was trying to remember back to when this group had an in-person meeting. Didn't we have some conversations at that time about tubing misconnections as a possible new event? And then I think nothing ever came of it, and it wasn't submitted.
But we had pulled that out separately. We did have those discussions, Diane, and then, you know, as the committee has deliberated, it's focused primarily on what was submitted.
Yeah.
And so we're capturing some of those other thoughts in these last moments of the deliberations here. So, which is fine, because this is an NQF product. But
Diane, Sally, just clarify for me again. If you guys didn't report under wrong site, where did you report this?
Well, I don't think we don't really capture this right now. If it's a wrong tube that's inserted, we'd capture it under a wrong procedure, which we have had before, a wrong type of tube inserted. If it's a tube...
You said a question of technique or something.
Yeah,
right?
If it's technique, like some of the examples that are given where it kind of goes in too far, goes into the wrong cavity, we don't capture that right now.
Okay, not at all. Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
But then the wrong use of the tube, how do you capture that?
If it's used in a way other than as it was intended to be used, we capture it under the device event.
Okay.
So if somebody uses a stent that was not intended for the biliary tree, which, as I understand it, I don't think there's FDA approval for any stents in the biliary tree. They use vascular stents.
That's correct.
Yep.
Yeah, the way that we word it is death or serious disability associated with using a device for a purpose or in a manner for which it was not designed to be used.
When you say designed in a manner in which it was not intended to be used, if somebody is using a stent then that doesn't have FDA approval, that's a purpose for which it was not intended to be used. Is that correct?
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, now remember, we also do exclude off-label uses when those uses are within appropriate guidelines.
And that's certainly the case in the off-label stents, because there are no stents available that are approved for the biliary tree.
Well, we might want to go back and look at the guidance, column 3 under that item, which is what, two products or devices, B as in beta? Do we want to actually look at the text? Because I messed with the... implementation guidance a little bit too.
So we're pulling that up on the web.
Yeah. It... I worry about described by the device manufacturer's literature.
Yeah, I just uploaded an addendum to that. I thought it was good to say something about the literature. Occurrences, whether or not used as intended by the literature, I said as intended refers to good faith, professional judgment of the user, which is not necessarily limited to uses defined in the manufacturer's literature. I think that's maybe more wordy than it needs to be.
And I guess the other issue is, what about the FDA?
Yeah.
The FDA permits off-label use.
That's true, but, you know, I think they permit it, and it's a known permission. I guess what I'm worried about is, you know, there's going to be some guy who goes, wow, you know, I think I can get this thing open by using X, and it's never been used by in that particular spot, and it's certainly never mentioned by the FDA or the manufacturer. So there's some cowboys that worry me.
Well, I think that would be reportable under this. You know, some of the things that are reportable under these are not necessarily all errors, but they might be events that we would still like to capture. I have a comment I'm going to...
Right, so we would like to capture that for sure.
Yeah, I think so. We've got this with a lot of spinal hardware, and, you know, the orthopedists are always doing things with things that are sort of improvisational.
I think that would definitely be captured as it's written in the implementation guidance, I think.
I do, too.
I agree.
Okay.
And I guess, you know, my view on this one is that the current additional specifications, which specifically talks about specialized tubes, covers the concern that was raised by the new member who was particularly interested in ventilation and feeding tubes.
I think so, too.
Agree.
This is Cynthia. I just want to express a concern I have. That is that where we've seen these particular types of events occur, whether it be a misconnected tubing or a line or a feeding tube being placed in the wrong position, I don't think it was looked at as a device issue. I think it was looked at and was found to be a process issue from the standpoint of either not utilizing technology to ensure appropriate placement or not taking appropriate protocol to ensure that you were connecting to the correct port. And I just wonder if people are going to go to this section with the function of a device and think about reporting things such as oxygen lines to IV tubes or, you know, tubes in the wrong chest side or the lungs instead of the trach or whatever, I mean, the esophagus.
Well, I think that's a good point, and it might be that under implementation guidance, we could also put a little comment that says, please report cases of this other thing under this other place.
Right now, this is Greg. I'm just trying to think about what does this mean in terms of this document. And what I'm hearing so far is I'm not hearing any proposals to change what we have in front of us. Am I missing something?
No, I think that seems correct to me.
I agree.
Okay. Well. Good news and bad news. The good news is I think with that we've gotten through the remaining submissions. Bad news, we didn't even touch the definitions, and there are only 2 or 3 minutes left in the call. I think at this time, I would propose that we do need to have a separate discussion of definitions. I am quite confident that we can get through that in an hour or less. But I do think it's important to get the opportunity for everyone to weigh in on those definitions, because they really do determine in many ways the way that this is going to be interpreted. So I would propose that we allow Peter to break us for public comment, and then we go ahead and schedule a call to review the definitions. Does anyone have a problem with that approach?
No.
Okay, well, thanks, Greg and Sally, and thank you all for your perseverance in trying to get to the end. I appreciate that very much. Operator, if you could see if there's anyone on the non-speaker line at this stage and to request if any questions are wanted.
Dr. Angood, there are no other participants on other than speakers today.
We wore them out. Okay. Greg and Sally, I'll turn it back to you guys.
Well, I think there's not much more to be said. Sally, I'll let you have the final word.
Yeah, no, we're just, I mean, obviously we're close, and we thought this probably would happen in talking amongst ourselves, hoping we could at least get through the events today, which we did, so that's good. And in terms of definitions, everybody's received them, so hopefully has had a chance to go over them, but if you haven't, we encourage everybody to do that so that we'll be thoroughly prepared for a call, and hopefully it can be a brief one. Peter and Lindsay, do you guys want to just do an email scheduling for times available for people for calls?
Yeah, we'll just proceed with that, and we'll try to get it within the next 1 to 2 weeks, and with an hour of scheduled time, that should be a little bit easier to schedule, so we'll proceed right away with that.
Great. And I would say, this is Greg, that we, if we do the homework as Sally described it to us, I think we can go through them by exclusion and probably move through very quickly.
Yep.
Well, with
so
that,
some people say the U.S. Senate is the greatest deliberative body, but I think we're giving it a run for the money.
I was going to make a similar type comment, but I won't make any. All I can do is express thanks and gratitude for the persistence. So
thank all of you.
All right, everybody.
Definitely.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.